This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, Frost & Sullivan Malaysia's mobile data service provider of the year.
Hello, I'm Melissa Idris for this morning's Breakfast Grill. And with me today is Pramesh Chandran, the CEO of the news portal Malaysia Kini. He's more affectionately known as Prim. So, Prim, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Melissa. Very nice to be here.
Well, if you want to ask Prim a question, just send them our way. You can do it on Twitter. Our handle is at BFM Radio, or you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Now, Malaysia Kini started back in 1999, born out of the flames of the Reformasi movement, and it's been two decades of operations now, Prim. Malaysia Kini in that time has been raided by police numerous times, dragged to court numerous times as well. Now, when you hear people refer to Malaysia Baru, when you see that hashtag, what does Malaysia Baru mean for you?
Well, it has been an incredible journey. I think, you know, we started out a long, long time back during the days of dial-up modems and, you know, infancy of the internet. And the internet has really changed. And I think I'm really glad that this change has happened in our country. Our mission was very much to bring about more independent professional media which, you know, reports on both sides. And we wanted to set an example on that. And I think that Malaysia Baru now, you know, all media are moving in that direction. So on one hand, we have a lot of competition. On another hand, in some ways, we have achieved our mission. We have pushed the media industry to be more independent, to be more balanced and fair. And I think that's it's a great day to see these changes happening.
Well, you know, when you first started Malaysia Kini with Stephen Gunn, editor-in-chief, the aim, as you mentioned, you wanted to push that boundary. The aim was to give Malaysians what they couldn't get from government-controlled TVs and TV and papers, the unvarnished view, so to speak. But in this age of Malaysia Baru, Prem, it's, you know, with press freedom, it's started to be a new era of press freedom. Do you see your position being challenged by what you've just said, you know, more competition?
Yes, definitely. There's going to be a whole lot of more competition out there. I think today people are, you know, reading news on their WhatsApp and Facebook, but that news is coming to them from various sources, Malaysia Kini being one of them. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we still feel that we have the brand and the edge. We have the credibility built over those 19 years. But we know we need to compete aggressively to stay ahead of the crowd. You know, our little niche of independent media has suddenly become very crowded. So we understand that. But we believe we have an excellent editorial team and we have an excellent team at Malaysia Kini generally that we will be able to compete and stay ahead.
What I found was particularly interesting was when Anwar Ibrahim was released from prison, I think it was 16th May, he specifically thanked Malaysia Kini for all your work and for your journalism. For the longest time, Prem, Malaysia Kini has been associated with the opposition, fighting for their cause. Now, are you considered a government news portal?
Well, you know, we had a very prominent opposition politician visit our office recently for an interview, that being former Prime Minister Najib Razak. I think that, you know, we have to realise that Malaysia Kini over its history has really reported on both sides. When Prime Minister Mahathir stepped down for the first time in 2003, you know, he was blacked out by his successor and the mainstream media did not carry him. But Malaysia Kini gave him a voice and we did an interview with him about his critique of Badawi, etc. So, you know, even though, you know, Mahathir, you know, during when he was Prime Minister was not kind to us.
Well, he tried to shut you down.
In some ways, yes. But we have had a, you know, very strong record of reporting on both sides. So, again, today, with the new Harapan government, obviously we'll be reporting on the changes that Harapan brings. But more important, we are going to be reporting it from the point of view of the public. What does the public want? What's the public concern? And we will also be reporting on what the opposition, the Barisan Nasional opposition, will be saying and how, as an opposition, they will be holding the Harapan government to account.
Are you helping them become a strong and credible opposition?
We strongly believe a strong opposition is necessary, whether it's a strong parliamentary opposition or voices that represent the people like civil society. At this stage, I think the new opposition will take some time to build. I think they're pretty weak at the moment. But there are very strong civil society voices and other voices out there who will be, you know, holding the government to their promises. And we will be reporting on those voices as well.
Well, what about the new Pakatan Harapan government? I would consider them new still, right? It's only been a couple of months. How friendly are you going to be to them in terms of, you know, giving them leeway in this so-called honeymoon period?
I don't think we'll be giving them leeway per se. I think, you know, we'll be asking them also the tough questions. They've made a lot of promises in their manifesto. And we'll be looking to them to fulfill those promises and to lead Malaysia in a new direction. So I don't think it's about giving them leeway. I think that every new government and every new opposition needs some elbow room, right? We should acknowledge that they're not going to be perfect, that they're not going to be able to, you know, hit the ground running and do everything very very well in the beginning. But that said, I think they still have to be held account, and Malaysia Kini will be doing that job.
In your mind frame, what is this honeymoon period? What kind of time frame are you looking at in terms of giving them the opportunity as a government in transition?
I think currently there's a lot of euphoria among the people. I think, you know, this win is not about a win for Harapan. It's actually a win for the people. The people, you know, in a way, chose a new government and kicked out old. And that was a very daring move. They overcame their fears. So really, it's about the people having a certain euphoria about this change. And they own this change more than even Harapan. And I think that, you know, this euphoria will go on for a while. But I think, you know, 6 months, 1 year down the line, this euphoria will subside. And, you know, the people themselves will start asking questions.
Right. So you're giving at least 6 months to a year for the euphoria to die down.
I think that after a while, people will be starting asking tougher questions. And, you know, the government can do so much now, but to actually structure long-term change, it is challenging. Because you can change the laws and you can, you know, change the people who are leading institutions. But to change the overall society's direction and get people really going, this nation going, is much tougher.
Yeah.
So the second level of changes will meet more resistance. And that's when we're going to see, you know, challenging moments.
And how would Malaysia Kini come play a role in help pushing that change along?
Malaysia Kini has the credibility, whether, you know, we're reporting on what Najib Razak has said or Tun Mahathir, you know, people look to us for asking the tough questions. And we have a very active comment section. Our readers can comment. And whatever said and done, you can see the readers, you know, agreeing or disagreeing with, you know, what's being said by the politicians. So we will be there. We'll be asking the tough questions. We will be going to press conferences. We'll be listening to the government as well as the new opposition.
I do want to come back to that interview that Malaysia Kini scored, that exclusive sit-down with the former Prime Minister, Dato' Sri Najib Razak. I mean, that is the interview that's, you know, that keeps on giving, I have to say. You know, you keep releasing chunks of that interview, which has been great. I'm curious to know, how did you get that interview with Najib? He's famously not been a fan.
He has. I mean, it was not easy under his administration. Both Stephen and I faced criminal charges. And
he sued you guys.
He sued us. Najib sued us personally as well as UMNO. But, you know, we have always tried to be very professional. Our job is to report the news. And we've always maintained a communication with his media team. And we've always said that, look, if he's willing to talk, we will ask the tough questions. But we will report fairly on what he says. And I think that he knew that, you know, perhaps he would get arrested and charged. And he knew that, you know, Malaysia Kini is a platform where his voice will be heard to an audience that is perhaps skeptical. And so he's trying to address perhaps not his hardcore, you know, previous UMNO audience, but to address the Malaysian society more in general.
Was that a surreal moment to see Najib walk through the doors of Malaysia Kini?
It was. It was an incredible, surreal moment.
Yeah.
You know, sort of a signifier of the change that we live in today.
So the suit that Najib had filed against Malaysia Kini, yourself and Stephen in his personal capacity, not against yourself, against former editor-in-chief Fatih Aris Umar, he dropped the suit a week before the interview, yes?
Yes, he did.
Is there any reason for the auspicious
timing?
Well,
he's been dropping the suits among many parties. So many parties that he has been sued, that he is suing, he has been withdrawing those cases.
I'm also getting a lot of questions, Prem, about the paywall that was dropped during the election period. So Kini decided to lift the paywall during GE14. Was this something that you've done every elections?
Yes, actually, every elections we have done. We understand that this is a time where Malaysians want their political news. And we'd rather, you know, keep it free, let them get the news let them be fully informed in terms of how they're going to be voting. So every elections, we drop the paywall.
I'm speaking to Premish Chandran, the CEO of Malaysia Kini. After this, we're going to come back and take a look at the sustainability of Malaysia Kini's business model. Stay tuned to The Breakfast Grill on BFM 89.9.
You are listening to The BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Hello, if you've just tuned in, I'm Melissa Idris on The Breakfast Grill with Premish Chandran, the CEO of the news portal Malaysia Kini. Thank you everyone for your questions. It's not too late. If you want to ask Prem a question, you can do so too on Twitter at BFM Radio is our handle, or on WhatsApp 018-789-8899. I'd like to come to the to look at technology, the technology behind Malaysia Kini, Prem, because Malaysia Kini has invested quite a fair bit in technology over the years. In fact, you guys started before the age of cheap technology, before cloud and data analytics. Have you seen that investment pay off?
I think definitely. We started off in 1999 where, you know, you didn't have any content management systems, you didn't have Google Analytics, you didn't have smartphones, you didn't have social media. So we were forced to build all our technology from scratch. And that's a culture that has grown in the organization. We have a very robust technology and product team. By building our own technology, not only do we understand how the technology works, we also understand what the technology trends and, you know, what's coming up and how technology is shaping the way we do things. So we've had a very in-depth understanding of data analytics. We've built our own analytical dashboards, our own workflows, and that has been allowing us to kind of stay ahead of our competitors who are essentially buying technology from vendors.
So you are the guy behind the drive, the push for tech in Malaysia Kini?
The tech team does report to me and I work with them, but we have really great engineers and, you know, they really inform me about, you know, what needs to be done in terms of technology.
And right now, are you still investing in tech?
Yes, we are not only investing in tech, our tech will become commercially viable on their own. So we'll be selling our technology going forward.
Yeah, so you'll be selling your technology going forward. That's quite interesting because, you know, I noticed during GE14, Kini, you guys put out, you know, quite a number of data-driven election tools. You had the undi.info, the redelineation checker. I think there was also Undi Power, if I'm not mistaken. All this, you know, data-driven, right? So do you really see yourself as technology merging with data-driven journalism?
Yes, I think we had a lot of assistance, but I think data and coming up with interesting tools to tell a story is a clear way to differentiate and get people engaged in the content. I think people don't just want to read. People want to play around with it and understand the ideas in more depth. And that's where data journalism and having these kind of widgets really help.
Mm. With the Undi Info, if I'm not mistaken, was that during the night of GE14? Was that site under a DDoS attack?
It was not under a DDoS attack. It was actually blocked by the by MCMC for about 2 hours. They issued an order to the ISPs to block Malaysia Kini as well as Undi.info because we were the only ones, you know, publishing the results. The rest of the media was kind of silent. And we had over 1.3 million concurrent users. We had 17 million users that night in total.
17 million for that one night?
For that one night alone. So the MCMC issued a block, and we understand Telecom Malaysia and Maxis instituted the block for a few hours, after which MCMC rescinded the order.
And that's the danger when it comes to, I guess, you know, being a purely online publication. You might be subjected to these types of attacks or blocks, for instance. Malaysia Kini, are you guys at all looking at a print license?
We are considering it, but we also believe that print is going out of fashion. We don't see it
flourishing. So why still consider?
Well, there is some revenue, so obviously we have to explore what are the opportunities out there. We're not saying it's completely gone. But at the moment, we are looking more into TV and other types of digital media. TV, obviously, you can watch it on your handphone, you know, as well as a TV. So it's more digital rather than print, which tends to, you know, be very much analog.
And speaking of, you know, accessing, consuming news and media on your smartphone, Prem, if I understand, most of your traffic now comes from mobile. Is that something that you're focusing on tailoring your content to, mobile viewing?
Definitely about 80% of our audience reaches us through through the mobile. Definitely we're looking at how we can do mobile better, both in terms of subscriptions and of content, in terms of advertising. Mobile is going to be a very core medium for us.
When you say you're going to stick to TV, is that just an online TV platform or are you looking at a broadcasting license as well?
I think all options are on the table. I think we would like to reach as big as audience as possible, including Sabah and Sarawak. So definitely we'll be looking at online as well as alternative means.
Alternative means, well, you have to keep us updated on that. For your revenue, when it comes to your revenue split, what percentage is now split between advertising and subscriptions?
It's about 60-70% advertising and about 30-40% subscription.
And are you profitable?
Yes, we've been profitable since 2008.
Impressive. So if 80%, so 70% coming from advertising revenue, I'm guessing that it must have been hard initially to attract advertisers simply because of the perception that Kini is opposition friendly at that point in time. Do you see that changing in Malaysia Baru?
Yeah, I think for the first 9 years, we had a very tough time attracting advertising. 2008 was really a watershed year. And I think that with the election outcome in 2008, many advertisers realized that the internet is very, very influential. So there's a huge shift away from print onto internet, which we benefited from. I think now, again, there's a huge increase in our ad revenue. You know, previously, there was this concern that if they advertise with Malaysia Kini, that the government may not see those, you know, that sort of advertising or, you know, in a good light.
Right.
Now, obviously, it's the reverse. So a lot of advertisers are coming to Malaysia Kini. We'll also be doing things like events. You may have heard that we're doing a Pesta Harapan Malaysia around Malaysia Day on September 15th. So we're doing, you know, we're doing a whole load of events and other activities.
Is this just in the last 2 months, Prem?
Yes, just recently. Yeah.
How is the online advertising sector? I mean, if you look at advertising expenditure in general, that's really just fallen off a cliff. When it comes to ADX in online publishing, is it still healthy?
Yes. Spending on online is growing rapidly. Often when it's reported, it's kind of underreported in the statistics because they don't have a very good means to track, you know, that advertising share. But in most markets now, advertising is number one. And most markets, advertising, online advertising is bigger than, say, print and newspapers.
But most of that is going to Facebook and Google.
A lot of it is going to Facebook and Google. But Google and Facebook also then pays out to publishers. So, you know, on first value, it's being paid to Google. And then Google will then pay out 80% of that to publishers. Similarly with Facebook.
Not too long ago, Prem, there was a lot of hand-wringing over monetizing online content. Do you think you guys have got it right?
I think, you know, we're pretty flexible. Although we have a paywall, our Malay site is free. It's freely accessible. Similarly with our Tamil site. So we're not kind of dogmatic about it. We're still trying to look and explore models. But we know that, you know, some of it is in advertising and some of it has to be in subscription. We also push subscription because we want people to feel that they should contribute. We should not be for free all the time.
Yeah, so Adam Goh has WhatsApped in saying, why do we need to pay for the Malaysia Kini English version when the Malay site is not under a paywall? Is there a reason for that?
The English site is more in-depth. The articles are longer. The Malay site, Malay is a national language, so all Malaysians should be able to read Malay. So, you know, that obviously allows us to reach up to a wider population. So we're kind of balancing between, you know, creating a big reach as well as making sure we get enough revenue in.
Robert Lim has also tweeted in saying that, Prem, I miss Malaysia, miss Kini Biz. Any comeback on that front?
We're looking at it. I think, you know, now it's a good time to have more business news. I think they, you know, it's obviously something that we're looking at, but perhaps not immediately.
I do have to say, though, in terms of subscriptions, have you guys seen a bump, you know, similar to a bump that you've seen in advertising? Have you seen a bump in subscribers post GE14?
Yes, we've subscription has more than doubled and it's growing very fast.
More than doubled. More what than is it doubled. Currently? Last you were on the show, I think it was just before elections, you mentioned around 20,000 subscribers.
We don't normally give an exact amount because it's hard to actually calculate. But, you know, in terms of revenue, it's more than doubled.
Why is that? Do you think the was it your coverage, or was it Malaysia Kini's coverage of GE14, or is it just a rah-rah sentiment that everyone's focusing on politics right now? There's a heightened interest.
I think a bit of both. I think there's this euphoria, people are interested in politics. It's always something, politics now affects their life, so they want to be involved in some way.
So when you see, has there been an increase in acceptance to what quality, that quality comes with cost, Prem? When you talk about, what price people are willing to pay, I believe Malaysia Kini is RM200 a year for subscription. Have you found that more people are open to paying for quality journalism?
It's still difficult. I think people who are interested in politics and current affairs have come to terms with it. And I think that's the way to go. I think that we have to really to go out there and say, look, just contribute your little bit. RM200 a year is very affordable. And by doing so, you are able to keep the media honest. If the media is only going to rely on advertising, or they have some sort of tycoon as a godfather who's putting in cash, you cannot rely on that media to be independent over long periods of time. And I think that we've shown over 19 years that with the help of our subscribers, we can be independent.
But when it comes to news, Malaysians are very used to getting news for free, right? So how is it that Malaysia Kini has survived 20 years on this subscription model? Actually, no, you guys put the paywall up 3 years into operations, right?
Yeah, I think that we try to sell the idea to our readers to buy into the whole mission. That you're subscribing not only just to Malaysia Kini, but you're subscribing because you support this idea of independent media. So we'd rather we ask them to subscribe to the idea of independent media and do that a little bit. And I think a lot of people agree with that.
Is there, so how many subscribers do you need to cover your operations? Because I can just imagine the delicate balance that it takes to be able to employ good quality journalists, keep them in the media, and at the same time, not charge too much. So you're driving subscribers away.
It's always tough. I think, trying to balance between subscription and advertising and our costs is always tough.
How many staff do you have right now?
We have over 100 people at Malaysia Kini. So it's a pretty big team.
It is a big team.
We report in 4 languages. We also have Kini TV. So it's a pretty large organization.
What other revenue streams are you looking at, Prem, aside from advertising and subscription? Are there other revenue models that you're looking at?
Like I mentioned, we're looking into selling our technology and commercializing some of our technology. We're also trying to go into the media education space, probably launch an academy to do with communications and media. We have a good advertising company, like an agency that we run and brings in ad dollars. We're looking at doing more events. We've got some other areas that we're looking to explore that we will see this growth in 2019.
Any plans to expand overseas? So not just in Malaysia, perhaps looking at regionally?
Not in terms of launching a news website, but in terms of our technology. We've already started to sell our technology globally. So we've got, 40 over international clients who are buying our technology.
40 over international. I have to say, congratulations. And you guys are celebrating, I think, 20 years and next year. I want to say thank you so much to everyone who's weighed in on social media, on Twitter and on WhatsApp. I'm sorry if I haven't gotten a chance to address your questions. But a big thank you to Pramesh Chandran, the CEO of Malaysia Kini. Thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you very much, Melissa.
I'm Melissa Idris for The Breakfast Grill on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U Mobile. Your passion drives our unlimited ideas.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.